Okay, so who would like to start with a definition of being joyful? Lee?
To rejoice, gladness, abound more, exceedingly. Gotta read my writing here. Well, it's gonna have to do the rest. I can't read my writing.
Okay, diet.
It goes.
Okay, I have a positive attitude or pleasant emotion, delight, gladness, contentment, and cheerfulness. And the joy which the people of God should have is holy and pure.
Very good.
Finishing for me.
Eileen?
And I have a joyous or joyous state is an enduring, deep-seated delight rooted in God's presence and promises, rather than fleeting emotion dependent on circumstances. It is a divine attribute, a fruit of the Holy Spirit that stems from faith in Jesus Christ and trust in his eternal plan, providing inner strength and peace even amidst the trials.
Very good. Anybody else? Anybody on Zoom would like to chime in with a definition?
I would.
Go ahead.
I have a deep, lasting inner contentment and a positive spiritual state that comes from God and His promises rather than a fleeting feeling of happiness based on circumstances.
Very good. In fact, when you look at my definition, joyful means to feel and express a state of great happiness and pleasure. That's the way we should be in our lives as Christians. There's a feeling of delight, often accompanied by laughter and a sense of well-being. Joyful people tend to be positive, appreciate and find satisfaction in the present moment. Be happy. That's what we as Christians should be, happy because of what God had given us. And to continue with that, being joyful, you display happiness, gratitude, and appreciation. How does that relate to us as Christians by being joyful? Bill?
I think, at least for myself, it comes from realizing that everything we see and know comes from God. If we appreciate that, and we, for instance, a nice day, if you're walking, you greet people. Say, hi, good morning, good afternoon, good day, and give them a smile just because you feel good about seeing somebody. And it's a great day, and God gave it to you. As so many of these definitions, they have a bunch of words that need to define themselves. It's a thing that comes from inside. It's inner, part of it is inner peace, and humility is a huge part of it, as it is with everything.
Right, exactly. And how does this relate to us as Christians? Are being joyful
We should feel that way.
all the time? What happens, one of our brothers or sisters achieve something good or great? How do we feel?
We rejoice with it.
Be joyful. Be happy for them because of their success. That's important for us as Christians today to realize that God had given us everything, and we should be very joyful about that in everything we do. Just think, if he didn't give the air to you to breathe, what would happen?
Be where you'd be.
You'll die. But we should be joyful that he gave us that. We should be joyful for all the things that our Father had given us. The beauty around us. Just because the day is sunshine, but also I appreciate the rain. It's important to have everything. So that's what being joyful is. So who would like to share a verse that they came up with and explain that verse as being joyful? Dan Burton.
I had James 1:2. Look there. James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And so joy is possible even during difficult days, as it's a test and it strengthens our faith. Because James 1:2 led me to John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And in the world you have tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So,
when we encounter various trials in our lives, in James 1 and 2, it says, count it all joy. And why? Verse 3 tells us, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. With these trials that we encounter in our lives, it strengthens our faith. It makes us grow to the point where we'll overcome those trials. Vicki?
I was just going to say, you know, this thing that just happened to Nolan and Amelia, I found no joy and not at all,
mm-hmm.
absolutely none. I think where I found my joy was when I saw them. And Nolan gave me a hug, and I just hugged him as tight as I could, and I cried, and he held me. And he said, you know, he just said a lot of things, but the way they were handling this, the things they said,
mm-hmm.
just how they are doing. Not that it doesn't hurt, not that it's not bad, not that it's not, they're not grieving, but their attitude about this whole thing, I learned so much from them. And that's where I found the joy, was talking to them and them explaining things to me. I went out there to try to help them, and I did nothing but cry, and they gave me joy by their attitude through the whole thing, and I learned a lot from them.
Very good point. In fact, God had a plan for his daughter. That's why he took it. We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. That's not always helpful, though.
But still, God's in control. That's something we have to remember. And that's the attitude that we should have. No matter what we encounter in our lives, God is in control. You know, there are just... Look at the news today. When that guy, Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, was trying to encourage young adults, and he paid the price with his life. That's that. But we as Christians know God's will be done all the time. Very good. Who else would like to share a verse? Carol?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 3:9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account?
Mm-hmm.
All our joy truly comes from God.
Exactly.
He is the base. And I think when you see situations that the joy that God is there and working in our lives is the kind of, it's not a happy joy. It's a joy that he does, he's there to comfort you. He's there to guide you. He's there to walk with you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody else? Bob?
Yeah, in Isaiah 51, verse 11,
mm-hmm.
Israel is told, be joyful because God has redeemed them, has ransomed them. And by extension, we should be joyful, grateful, because he has redeemed us through Jesus Christ.
Exactly. He gave us salvation through Christ Jesus. And we, as Christians, should realize it's a gift from God. It's God's mercy and grace he gave us this. And it's up to you and I to have that attitude that all things come from God. Anybody else have a verse that I can share? Diane?
Mine is Psalms 81:1, and Israel had been imploring God to rescue them from all their calamities, and he was showing their good, his goodness. And it says, sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob.
Very good. Anybody else have one to share?
I have... I have Luke 2 and 10, where the shepherds were in the field and the angels came and said, but the angels said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy will be for all the people. And we all know what that was about. Jesus had been born and the angels were bringing joy to the shepherds.
Very good. Thank you, Ann. Anybody else? Bill?
Doesn't use the word joy, but it's a situation. This is in the book of Ruth. And Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in and her, and gave her conception to bear a son. And women said unto Naomi, blessed be Jehovah, who hath not left thee this day without a near kinsman. Let his name be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, who loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. The women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is thy son tonight, this thy son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. You can just imagine that community of women, and especially Naomi, how filled with joy and happiness they were at this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi had been left empty until Ruth came with her, and now she was full again.
Yeah, she lost everything, and now the Lord gave her something to look forward to. Very good. I have one that Solomon says in Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones.
Amen.
Your attitude. That's one thing we have to remember. We have to have a good attitude. And like many of us said, all things come from God. And we should realize he gives us everything. We should be joyful about it. Okay, who would like to... Let me continue here. Who would like to share an example of someone being joyful of the Old Testament? You gave us Naomi. Who else would like to share a character from the Old Testament? Carolyn and Kirsten.
I have Hannah. Is okay. Samuel. And she's desperate to the Lord in prayer, praying for a child. And she says, I will dedicate it to the Lord. And
it's exactly what she did, and she was joyful for the time that she had, and God blessed her with a righteous man who served God.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Kirsten?
I had Miriam in Exodus 15 and 20 and 21 after the crossing of the Red Sea. Miriam danced with the tambourines, and all the ladies joined in, and they gave thanks to God for just delivering them across the sea and all of that. And I don't really ever remember, but it was like she lived quite the life. And I forgot that she was Moses and Aaron's sister.
Yeah.
And so, and just that she was, yeah. So, but just her crossing of the Red Sea and her dancing with joy for being joyful that they were free and they.
She was joyful, absolutely. And she thanked God for it. Yep. Anybody else have one to share? Go ahead, Bill.
Another one. This one's from Esther. When the Jews have been condemned to be destroyed by their enemies, and the king gave a decree that they could stand for their own lives, and they were saved. And Mordecai was raised up to become second to the king. And it said that in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had gladness and joy, a feast and a good day.
Very good example. Anybody else? Peg?
I wonder, I think it's joy that Joseph would have felt when he saw his brothers.
Yeah.
I think it would be joy.
Well, yeah, they were separated for such a long time, but yet, what did he do?
He waited.
He went in the other room and wept.
Exactly. He was very, very moved by that. And it's important that we follow suit, that our attitude is the same way. I had Nehemiah in Nehemiah 8, verses 9 and 10. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That is so powerful. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Being joyful. It's important for us to understand that this joy comes from God. And he wants us to be joyous in our lives. Anybody else? Anybody from on Zoom have an Old Testament character to share? Okay, let's go to a New Testament character. Diane?
I have Luke 1:39-44. And just so I don't run this clear out, it's when Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And in 44, it says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby leaped in my womb for joy."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, yes, got it.
Exactly. I got it too.
I got it too.
Okay, anybody else? Kirsten and then Carol.
I asked Luke 15:7-10, the story of the lost coin, the woman who lost the coin, and she searched for it and looked, and when she found it, she called her friends together and they rejoiced, for they had found the coin that she had lost, which kind of is after the story of just the lost sheep. You know, that you should celebrate that lost one that came home, and so that brought you joy.
Very good. Carol?
Yeah, I had the gentleman who was possessed by legion, and Jesus sent them out into the herd of swine, and he wanted to follow Jesus. He was joyous, and Jesus told him to no, go back home and tell people what happened. And then also the gentleman who was by the pool, who was strengthened and left up and was joyful.
Very good. Anybody else? Bob?
Yeah, I picked the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 32 said that the son was dead, has begun to live, was lost, and has been found. It was necessary to be married. He was describing this to his other son, who had challenged him.
Yes, he had an attitude that he had to overcome. And his father said, look, you should be happy. You should be joyful that your brother returned. And he was just trying to convey a lesson to the older son. Very good. Anybody else? Bill and then Dean.
Can I give another one from the Old Testament? When Jacob learned that Joseph was still alive, his heart fainted. And when he saw all the wagons and supplies that Joseph had sent, his spirit revived. He says, now I can see my son before I die. It was like the old priest who got to see the baby Jesus before he died. Can you imagine the happiness and the joy? What a huge uplifting.
Oh, absolutely. Dean?
I had the apostles. Oddly, Jesus describes their situation shortly before he's crucified, John 16. And he tells them this, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. And then he importantly says, and no man will take your joy from you. So the apostles experienced a real emotion of sorrow. And it was reasonable. And then they also experienced a real emotion of joy. And knowing that that joy is there kind of pales in comparison to knowing that no man can take it away.
Very good point. And that's something we should dwell on in our lives. This joy comes from God. And we're going to have sorrows in our lives. We're going to have trials in our lives. But look at the bright side. The joyous part. We're going to be joyful. In fact, we have something that we can look forward to and has eternal life. That's by God's mercy and grace we will have eternal life. That's something that should be on our hearts and minds all the time. Because it's God's gift for us and we should be joyful about it. Okay, and does anybody else have a character they'd like to share from the New Testament?
Paul exhorted the Christians in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to rejoice always.
Rejoice always. Very good.
I do.
Go ahead.
Hi. I was thinking after Jesus was born when they went to the temple when he was a child, and Simeon. Simeon and I lost my notes here, and Anna, the two in the temple. That was mine.
That must have been really a moment to savor because they actually seen the Holy One. They were waiting all their lives for the Messiah. And they had God given them that particular moment. Very good, Ann. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, now we'll get to the two hard questions. I think they're hard. How do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through being joyful? Go ahead, Mom.
Ecclesiastes 8:15 tells us to eat, drink, and be merry. So, trust in God through Jesus Christ. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Okay. Anybody want to add to that?
I don't know if this is right. I said by showing our love and dedication to God and letting others see our hope and our future salvation.
Yeah, very good. Dean and Inkara, and then Faith.
Well, I don't think, you know, I've heard Christians described as being baptized in pickle juice and weaned, or baptized in vinegar and weaned on a pickle. I don't think Christians need to have that kind of disposition.
Mm-hmm.
But I have met Christians who never wanted to be jesting. They never wanted to be joking. They never wanted to be happy and to show their happiness, let alone do what David did when the ark came back to Jerusalem and he's dancing in the streets. And his own wife told him he was being outrageous. Christians don't need to be that way.
No, but yet they should be joyful within themselves. Very good. Carol, and then Faith.
Being joyful is a positive thing because you're joyful that God has all that God has done for you, and that makes you, should make you, a positive person. And when you count your blessings, you see all the joys that God has given you or other people in your life. So being joyful, when you look at the positive, there's the old saying that two people are in the ditch. One person looks up and sees the stars, and the other person looks down and sees the mud. It's part of it's the attitude, but if you have God on your side, you sure can be joyful.
Good. Faith?
Well, joy is in your heart, but it needs action, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like love and charity. Charity is action, and joy needs action too on the part of the Christian. It can be thankfulness to God, because that's why your joy is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be giving God the credit when somebody talks to you about something.
Exactly.
But I think action is necessary somehow. I'm not quite sure how.
She's reading my notes. Yeah, person.
I kind of was thinking, you have to experience it. And so a couple of ways that you can is looking outside of oneself to Jesus, because he conquered death and did the sadness for us. It's a trust of God's promises and God's word. You experience joy when you cultivate a relationship with God, and you experience joy when you share in God's joy, just him and just all of his creations, mm-hmm, coming out in nature and things like that. So that's how I kind of took it, as you two have to kind of experience it.
Exactly. We should be thankful, and we should maintain a strong relationship with God. And we should actively choose to rejoice in the Lord all the time. even when we encounter difficulties in our lives. We should be mindful of our blessings, practice humility, and prioritizing service to others. That's our jobs as Christians, and we should be joyful about that. Anybody from Zoom have something to add to this? As we continue, gratitude. What is gratitude?
Being thankful.
Being thankful. Acknowledge and appreciate the blessings in your life, both big and small. And they come from God. And express your gratitude to God for his goodness can help foster a joyful outlook. That's important in our lives. What about abiding in Christ? What does that mean?
Living in Christ. Living in Christ.
Living in Christ. Putting him first. Go ahead.
Christ loved us, so we need to love the world. The example that he set is humbling.
And how do we do that?
Count the blessings that he gives us every day.
Exactly.
Good.
And be thankful through our prayer to our communication to God the Father. Read our scriptures. That's the way God communicates to you and I. And have fellowship with believers. Don't isolate yourself. What's going to happen when you get to heaven?
We're going to sing.
We're going to praise God. We're going to glorify God with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't put yourself on an island. Be joyful with your brothers and sisters. The more you draw near to God, the more you will experience his joy. And that is so important for us to remember. We should be focusing on Christ. Constantly reminding yourself of the truth of Jesus Christ and his love for you. Just think, he died on the cross for you and I. And this can help us maintain a positive perspective and overcome negative emotions. Put all that negativity away from you. Be positive. So that your lights will shine in the community around you and you can share that. Another way we should be like Christ is be humble. Practice humility by counting others as more important than yourself. This involves recognizing your own limitations and seeking to serve and help others rather than focusing on your own needs and desires. Put others ahead of you. Just look at a marriage relationship. You always have the best interests of your partner ahead of you.
Yep.
That's so important to bring that concept in your relationship with other people. And just remember, the second commandment, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Serving others. Prioritize serving others before yourself. This demonstrates a Christ-like attitude of humility and love and can bring immense joy to your life. And finally, forgiveness and peace. Just think what Jesus did when he was here. He associated with everyone. And he forgave those who returned away from their sins. And they had peace. So cultivate a heart of forgiveness and peace. That's something that Christians should be doing constantly. Living in forgiveness and peace can help you overcome anger, resentment, which can negatively impact your joy. That'll cancel your joy. We studied how to, in our conflict resolution class, how we deal with problems. You have to communicate. You have to do that. You don't want to let the sun go down on your anger, because if you allow that, it'll eat away from you. So that's how we should have a Christ-like attitude, by being joyful. Okay, last question is, how do you grow in being joyful and seek opportunities to demonstrate being joyful to others? So how do we grow by being joyful? Bill?
This is something you can cultivate by outward activities, just greeting people as you meet them, strangers in your everyday walk, smiling, giving a little bit of happiness to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just little things like that. And the more you do it, the more it grows on you. It becomes you.
Sure. Very good. Anybody else?
Helping others, I think.
Dan Kirsten and Carol.
Just helping others.
Helping others?
Yeah. Last night a woman came through my line at Albertsons, and she was really struggling to pay for her groceries. And it was like one credit card after another. And the more she got frustrated because they were insufficient funds, she was telling us more and more about her plight, and not because, but it was just because she was embarrassed. She was out of anger. And John paid the rest of her groceries. And it just...
An act of kindness went a long way.
Her daughter was there. It was really moving.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very good example. We should be growing by being joyful in your faith. Involves focusing on gratitude, seeking God's purpose in trials, and actively engaging with scripture and prayer. Study your Bible. Carol?
Our joy comes from God, so it's what centers us, and it's what we should be able to share with others, too.
Sure, absolutely. It also means cultivating a sense of hope and anticipation for God's future work. We are representing God in this community by going out in the community and doing the best we can. We may not be elegant speakers. I certainly am not. But yet you can go out in the community and tell others about Jesus. Tell others about the plan of salvation. Share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So when we encounter others, we show others our joyfulness. And how do we do that?
Proverbs 15 tells us that a joyful heart makes a cheery face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We should live with that. We should live by example and worship God. if you don't want to worship God here while you're on this earth, what's going to happen when you go to heaven? Amen. You'll be doing this all day long. Worship God. Put Him first. Engage in acts of service and kindness. And Kirsten had given us an excellent example of how some women do that. Express gratitude. Be thankful. And let God know that via prayer. You don't have to publicize it to the whole world, but communicate that to God. Communicate to the Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus and thank Him for everything He had given you. That's how we show our joy, and that's how people will recognize we are joyous people. Pray and encourage others. The example that Vicki had shared with us is perfect because Nolan and Amelia uplifted you. And that's so important. We should be helping one another in all kinds of activities, in all kinds of situations. We may not have all the answers, but you can be a shoulder to someone. Just think of the Milbrights. They're going through some heavy-duty stuff right now. And let's be there for them to the best we can. And share God's love without conditions. That's so important. We as Christians should emulate Jesus in our lives. And we study the minor gospels, and we look at Jesus' life, and that should give you a start for your Christian walk of life. And finally, meditate on God's goodness. How do we do that?
Pray. Often.
Read.
All the time.
Yes.
Read the Bible. Read your Bible.
Read your Bible. Carol?
Look for God's goodness in the world. You can, the news just inundates you with nothing but negative most of the time. But there's lots of goodness that goes on.
Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to seek out that goodness.
And share it.
And don't dwell on those things that are happening in the world. Does anybody have any? Oh, Faye, you.
It's not that, but if there's joy when one becomes a Christian,
mm-hmm.
there's great joy in heaven and in yourself and in the church, and then. Your focus then is joy because you have all your brothers and sisters who are going to help bear your burdens. And you have God who takes your burdens, which you didn't have before you became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about it in that way, you would be joyous because you're so thankful. And you know that God is always going to be there for you. And you have a focus on heaven, salvation.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So it's something that I think continues through your life, or should.
When someone is baptized, we should be joyful for them. Because there's another soul that's added. To the list of those who want to be saved. Bill.
walk and talk with God all the time. I mean, literally talking to him out loud. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a prayer situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just focused on, Father, thank you so much. This is so beautiful. Thank you for the sunny day. Thanks for my health. So many things. Just walk and talk with God in the way.
Sure. Very good. Okay. If there's no other comments, I know I went overtime Sunday, so I'll give you back 7 minutes that I took from you Sunday night. If there's nothing else...